Is the learning in your school competency-based? Is it personalized? Is it happening anytime, anywhere? Is it student-owned? In other words, is the learning student-centered? And are all students learning more deeply, more equitably, and becoming career and college ready? If you have these questions, want to know what the research says about them, and are trying to figure out how to implement these ideas in your classrooms and schools, you've come to the right place. Thank you for listening to the Student-Centered Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Arthur Barriff, and I've been a principal and teacher in student-centered schools for over 17 years, and I can't wait to share a story or interview that will help you help your students. Welcome back, and today we continue a series of very special episodes, 15 interviews of student-centered educators brought to us by guest producers. You're about to hear from Amy Gingras, the choir director and one of two music teachers at North Providence High School in Rhode Island. She interviews Lisa Leahy, a North Providence High School teacher for the past 18 years and a Rhode Island Fuse Fellow, who's serving as a blended learning resource across the state of Rhode Island. Enjoy the interview, and I hope you learn a few more things about blended learning.
Hello, this is Amy Gingras here at North Providence High School. I'm with Lisa Leahy, an English teacher and Fuse Fellow here at the high school. So welcome, Lisa. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Amy. Looking forward to talking to you.
Great, and I'm looking forward to learning all you have to share about blended learning. But first, let's hear a little bit more about you.
Okay, so I have been teaching here at the high school for 18 years. I've always taught English. I had a film elective for a while, but mainly literature and literature analysis. I got into blended learning probably about 5 years ago when I first was assigned jury duty and was petrified that I was going to be out of my classroom for weeks on end. Mm. And having early enrollment college students, I was worried about leaving them alone. How do I have high school, college students do Hamlet on their own, right, without just giving them a bunch of worksheets? So I came upon flipped learning. I developed an entire flipped unit around Hamlet and setting these kids up in groups, finding a way for them to put all of it together and kind of work together without me being there, providing that supportive information, yada, yada. And the night before my jury duty, it got canceled.
Oh.
And so having 2 weeks of work ready to go, I went with it. So even me still being in the room, which is how flipped learning goes anyway, they ran with it, and it was wonderful. So that's when I got bitten by the blended learning bug. I started researching more. I started reading more books, and I went fully blended 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago now, when I piloted for the district a one-to-one classroom. I actually did it with two different freshman-enriched classes, which is kind of like honors freshmen. Mm-hmm. And they were each given a computer, and so I just kind of went from there. And with that, I also found the Fuse Fellowship, right, which is through the Highlander Institute, mm-hmm, which is a nonprofit that helps partner websites and softwares with classroom teachers, and it also helps support classroom teachers and school administrators in school districts in implementing blended learning and personalized learning. The whole focus of it is not that teachers will be replaced by the technology, it's that the technology enhances what we already do.
For sure.
So as a Fuse Fellow, I have been partnered with the East Providence School District, and that's a two-year fellowship. And it's been one of the most rewarding experiences of my career.
So that's amazing. So is that where you go to East Providence and kind of help other teachers set up their own flipped or blended classrooms?
Correct, yes. So I work with two other teachers, and we work with the District of East Providence. So we started off our fellowship by meeting with the district leadership, coming up with a vision for blended learning in their district, and then determining who the early adopters would be in each of the schools. So I work with the high school, and I work with five different teachers of all different disciplines, and my two partners work with the two middle schools. Mm-hmm. And so for the past 2 years, we work one-on-one with these teachers. We figure out where they are in their classrooms, what their technology comfort level is at the start, and then we support them in their goals. Most of them, the goals are, you know, I want my students to be able to progress through this content without waiting for me to deliver it. A lot of it is small group instruction. How do I take a class of 27 kids and manage to have one-on-one or three-on-one time with these kids where I can give the support to the students who really need it, and then the students who may not need our help and are high flyers and can get through it on their own don't have to wait for me. They can just move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So it's personalized on a number of levels where we tailor our coaching to the district goals, then to the school goals, then to the teacher goals, which are typically what the student goals are.
Right.
So
that's so cool.
Thank you. Awesome. I enjoy it.
And is East Providence the first district that you've worked with?
Yes. Yes, correct. So the idea is to spread blended learning out, and as it's only a two-year fellowship, this is going to be the end of my work with East Providence, at least on a formal level. I've developed great relationships with these teachers, and I'm already, you know, working back and forth with them to say, okay, here's what we're going to do next year. You know, you have my Twitter handle, you have my email, please make sure you contact me. One of them is an English teacher, and we're already figuring out next year how we're going to get our freshmen to collaborate across districts. And the idea is, I've been their support coach for 2 years. Now they're going to become the support coaches in their own district to help spread blended learning in their own buildings.
Very cool.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So you've talked about how you've been helping other districts. What have you done in North Providence and in this school?
Mm-hmm. So I've always been kind of a techie. I like to joke that I have about 87% of a clue, because if there's a problem with the technology, usually I can find the issue and I can find the problem. Yeah, well, there's volume. That's definitely one of them. Of course, you go to the, well, have you turned it off and turned it back on solution, which works most of the time, too. I've always been a tinkerer. So, you know, I was the kid that took apart my clock radio just to see what it looked like inside. And that's how I learn computers. That's how I learn PCs. That's how I learn Macs. I am firmly entrenched in Apple, and I refuse to budge. But if there's a problem, I have no trouble going in, finding something, and, okay, well, let's try this. And if this doesn't work, let's try this. And I'm usually pretty good at diagnosing whatever the issue is. So over my career, I have always been some kind of informal tech support for people. So when I started getting into blended learning as a Fuse coach, it was a natural fit. Here in the district, we recently added a position for a curriculum and technology integrationist position.
Cool.
And I've been working very closely with her and with another Fuse fellow in the building to support teachers in our building, teachers in the middle schools, teachers at the elementary schools. And this year we worked together over the summer to formally put together a professional development program for the teachers in the district. So it was a whole school, whole district initiative to start dabbling a little more. Mm-hmm. The district is implementing a lot more technology at all the different levels. We've been upgrading our technology in the classrooms, in the schools. We're upping the bandwidth, you know, increasing wireless access, all of these things. So in order to do that and in order to become more effective with the technology in our classrooms, we have to become more effective with it in ourselves. And we work to put together, you know, the same thing we do with our students, a personalized, call it bingo board, right? Mm-hmm. So a set of, here are some things you could do in your classroom tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Try it out. Mini lessons, mini modules, you could call them, of here's what it looks like. Here's a tutorial video. Now you try it. Mm-hmm. What kind of thing could you get out of this? So we put that together over the summer, and we implemented that in the beginning of the year. And sporadically throughout the year, people have either come to my classroom or they've asked me to come to theirs and just sort of tech support along the way, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, can you help me with this? Or, hey, can you take a look at this playlist I created? Does it look okay? And we also went into the common planning groups in the beginning of the school year mm-hmm. to offer additional support. So we kind of just, you know, formal and informal opportunities to help everyone.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
So in your own classroom, what have you noticed since you've implemented this type of learning and teaching?
What I've found is I know my students on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. I was never much of a lecturer. I never really gave much for notes. Sometimes I did. In my film class, I did because it was new to my students. They didn't know terms like mise-en-scene. They don't know what high fidelity, low fidelity is. That doesn't make sense to them. So I would need to give notes for that. But with my English classes, I've always been very discussion-based. But as in any class, you know, if you're discussion-based, one person can talk at a time. Mm-hmm. So in a class of 27, like my AP class, 24, 23 for my freshman, one person's talking and 22 aren't. You know, you have the potential for as many as 22 not listening.
Right.
So what the blended learning has done for me is allow me a chance to really connect with my students. I am no longer the sole source of information. When we were in school, if you didn't know something, or at least when I was in school, you're younger than me. When I was in school, I didn't have computers. We didn't have it. You know, I am of that generation that has one foot in non-technology and one foot in the technology. So when I had to do term papers, I had to dig up old books and bring them to the photocopy machine. And if the library was closed, I had no access to anything. Nowadays, you just Google it.
Yep.
So if I didn't know, you know, who fought in a particular war or the dates of a particular battle, I had to ask the teacher. Nowadays, students don't have to ask us for those basic facts. They can Google them. They can go online and find them. So our jobs of as teachers has changed. And we, in my opinion, my philosophy, should work more as facilitators. Mm-hmm. Present the information. If you still want to give a lecture, do the lecture. But maybe you videotape it. And instead of 50 minutes, because who forgot a pen? Who needs you to slow down? Mm-hmm. Can you go back to that slide? If you were to just deliver that note, that lecture, in one fell swoop, it might take you 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you were to record that on a Screencastify, for example, or if you wanted to use a different kind of capture, it takes you 10 minutes to put this together. You have the students watch it at their own pace. Now the student who needs to hear you repeat something can pause and rewind you. The student who has no trouble with any of this kind of stuff can even watch you on double time, write it down quickly, and get it done in 5 minutes, but they've got it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting more into this personalized element.
Right.
In my classes, what I've now found is because I'm not standing at the front of the room, I am free to walk around the room, and if a student needs my help, I can help. So if you walk into my class on an average day, you've got students either working on computers or you've got these two working together on a particular SAT practice. Maybe I'm in the front of the room with five students who were behind, or maybe two were absent and these other three just don't get it. And I'm able to work with them in very small groups to make sure they get it, whereas I'm not, for lack of a better term, using up time for a high flyer who doesn't need me to go over it again.
Right.
That student can now move on to something else. What I've also noticed is the quality of work has gone up because I offer choice in everything we do. So when I do a Shakespeare unit, they choose which Shakespeare play they want to read. I give them a choice of four. And when they choose their play with a summary, those are the groups that I form. Mm-hmm. So in my Shakespeare unit, I have three or four Shakespeare plays being read at once. And I pop from group to group, and they help each other. And I have guiding questions for each one. And it's great that the interest level has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the quality of work has gone up because they're taking ownership of it. It's no longer, you're going to do what I tell you to do.
Right.
It's, here's the context. How do you want to show me your learning? So with like the Odyssey, for example, they read the same adventures, but in order to prove their learning to me, you might have one student create a study guide video for another class. You might have someone create a digital cartoon. You might have somebody rewrite the adventure from a character's point of view. And they all have the choice on how they do it. All I'm looking for is, do they understand it?
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say to a teacher who doesn't have one-to-one technology in their classroom or is relying on the use of cell phones,
mm-hmm.
and not everybody has one? Like, what advice would you give for that?
Well, that's a common problem.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, it's a problem that's becoming smaller. It's not going away yet, but it's smaller. As far as using the cell phones, that's what I did when I first flipped Hamlet. I didn't have computers in my room. I'm currently not one-to-one. I have a computer cart now, and I'm fortunate because most classrooms don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But my very first year of doing it, I was, you know, average English teacher like everyone else in the building, and we had a shared cart, and it wasn't available, and I certainly didn't want to not be in the building and tie it up for 2 weeks for this jury duty that never happened.
Right.
So I said, hey guys, if you've got your own computer, please feel free to bring it. If you've got a tablet, please feel free to bring it. We had a couple of departmental computers I was had available to them, but most of them just use cell phones. Mm-hmm. And so the flipped Hamlet unit, I used a website called Edmodo, mm-hmm. which is like an educational Facebook, and it's great for networking for teachers too. So I loaded everything there. This was before Google Classroom existed. And all they had to do was watch a video on their phone. And then they could either jot down their reactions on paper and go home that night and post stuff, or they could post right through the Edmodo app. So the cell phones worked for me in that vein. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you don't want to use the cell phones, or if you're using a particular website or an app that isn't friendly with cell phones, and to be perfectly frank, there are very, very few where that's an issue. Mm-hmm. Most websites, if you think Padlet, if you think... BlendSpace, if you think about Edpuzzle, like a lot of these apps either have mobile versions that condense the website onto a cell phone screen, or they have an app.
Right.
And you just go right through the app and do what you need to do. But this is when the blended really comes in, because blended learning is not full-on technology all the time.
Right.
It's a blend of face-to-face. Mm-hmm. It's a blend of worksheets, perhaps, of handwritten work and the technology.
Yeah.
So if you only have access to 5 or 10 computers, you could set up a stations activity where for 20 minutes you guys work on the computers. This other group is going to work with me in a small conversation, and this third group is going to be working on this particular project. So not everyone needs to be on a computer at the same time. And if you have minimal access, by setting out times when they would actually be on the computer and then rotating it, mm-hmm. everybody gets a chance.
Yeah. That's a great idea, too.
Thank you.
So let's talk about some tips for beginners.
Sure.
We're kind of leading into that. So what would you say would be your like top tips for someone who wants to get started, but from like nothing?
Yeah. So the best place to start is, let's see. So if you are in a Google district, get yourself familiar with Google Suite for Education. Mm-hmm. Make yourself familiar with Google Drive, Google Docs, Google Slides. Have your students do collaborative documents. So have them put together a Google slide presentation. It's PowerPoint in Google. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is share the slides. So you have two kids working in, maybe three kids, maybe four kids, working in one presentation at the same time. Mm-hmm. So now they're not only putting together a presentation on whatever topic, they're learning collaboration, they're learning problem-solving skills, which are really those transferable skills we really want to be teaching them now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have to teach them the facts anymore, we need to teach them the skills, what to do with those facts. So that's one place to start. Because we all assign papers, we all assign presentations, start bringing the technology in with something that you're already pretty familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Then take your discussion protocols and digitize them. There's a fantastic website called Padlet, P-A-D-L-E-T, and it is a digital corkboard. And you will get 100% of your student voices on a Padlet, where in a class discussion, only one person can talk at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, okay, guys, go on your phone, bring up this website, and you can put it right on the board, and you say, okay, I'm going to ask you this particular question. What do you think about such and such? And now every student goes on and posts on a little virtual post-it their idea.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've blended, you've integrated technology, and you now have every single student's opinion. You can use this for great formative assessment. You can now see how well everyone in the room understands. Whereas before, you kind of had a sense of it, or you didn't know until they took the final thing.
Right.
Final test, final paper, whatever it is, and then you were like, oh, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another great way to do it. I am a really big fan of the Hack Learning series. These were put together originally by Mark Barnes,
mm-hmm.
and these are fantastic educational books that will have 10 to 12 chapters usually. So there's hacking assessment, there's hacking literacy, there's hacking education, and every single one of them will walk you through these individual little tricks and techniques you can put into your classroom, but all of them have a box that say what you can do tomorrow. And Mark Barnes has said, you know, if you want to try blended learning, if you want to try integrating technology, pick one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's my advice for learners in my huge, long, rambly answer. Pick one thing that you want to try to integrate and focus on that. You don't have to become a super expert before you try it in your classroom. The kids can see that you are human. They're not going to revolt. They're not going to mutiny against you. And some of them will be really thrilled to be able to help you. And so you can explore websites together. You can explore techniques together. And if something doesn't work, you can laugh together. Mm-hmm. And then students see that it's okay when you make a mistake and learn from it. They'll learn that when I make a mistake, I can learn from it, and it's not the end of the world.
Sure.
So try one thing. And then once you've mastered that one thing, add another thing. And then add another thing. And then one final suggestion for beginners, mm-hmm. get on Twitter. Start a Twitter handle, and you do not have to participate. You can lurk, and lurking is wonderful for introverts like me. I'm an introvert, and I like to lurk. There are so many Twitter chats on every possible aspect of education you can think of. Discipline, philosophy, style, specific courses, whatever it is. If you Google, you know, educational Twitter chats, they're once a week, Monday night, Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, three or four of them on a night. Find a Twitter chat that interests you and just watch it happen. And see what ideas you can get, because the networking possibilities in Twitter are astonishing. Mm. Before, you'd have to knock on the door of the person next to you and say, hey, could you share this with me? And they'd pass you a file folder. Now you can ask a question on Twitter, and an entire community of educators from around the world will share items with you and will help you. And your question might become something in a weekly Twitter chat that everybody's going to answer.
Wow.
So get in there and start looking. And then once you feel like you have something to say, jump in.
I'm definitely going to take that piece of advice.
Definitely do. And check out TweetDeck, which is a way to siphon out hashtags automatically.
Nice.
Instead of you just refreshing on your phone.
Hmm. Yeah, Twitter is a world that I know nothing about, so.
You got to dip your toe in.
All right. I think I will.
Yes, please do. And I will help you.
Great. I have this one final question for you.
Sure.
Thinking back to, like, the students at the beginning of your career, do you think that blended learning would have been, like, effective or necessary then with those students?
It's a really good question because we're talking 18 years ago. Oh, my goodness. I think blended learning is effective for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think my students then definitely would have benefited from that. I'm hesitating because I don't want to say, oh, I was a terrible teacher then. Because that's not the case, if I might toot my own horn for a moment. But I know there are veteran teachers who worked with us during this PD day with the blended learning who were very concerned. And they said, you're essentially telling me that I've been a bad teacher for 25 years. And that's definitely not the case. Absolutely not. Under no circumstances are teachers who blend saying that if you don't blend, it means you're a bad teacher and you don't know your kids. I can't emphasize that enough. 18 years ago, 25 years ago, 50 years ago, teachers, good teachers knew their kids and they had ways of doing it. What this allows is for good teachers to know their kids even better. Because now you're not standing in the front of the room delivering the information. Now the information is front-loaded for kids, and you're now more available. You're making better use of your face-to-face class time. Mm-hmm. Because while I could stand and lecture at you, if I make a 10-minute video and give it to you for homework, you can watch the homework and watch the lecture at home and then come in with your notes and ask me questions. That's the foundation for flipped learning. Flipped learning got started by Jonathan Bergman and Aaron Sams, two chemistry teachers in Colorado who, you know, I'm not great at chemistry, so I would take my notes in my class, and then I would go home to do my practice problems, and I didn't know what to do. my parents weren't chemistry teachers. They couldn't help me. Mm-hmm. So these two teachers realized, hey, I can record it and they can copy the notes at home, whereas now in class, I can help them with those problems if they need it. Mm. There's your flipped learning.
Right.
So I think what it does is it takes the creative ideas and the good things that we do in our classrooms already, and it makes us more accessible. And that's the basis of it. Technology is not going to replace us. It's going to enhance us, and mm-hmm. it's going to support us. The same way we use a literature book to deliver a story to a student, mm-hmm. whereas before we had to individually tell a story, you know, like to put right. together a really weak analogy. Mm-hmm. I think my early students would have benefited from me being able to sit down with them in small groups more often. Mm-hmm. Students who stayed after school with me to talk about Romeo and Juliet. And, you know, I'm thinking of a very specific student who really struggled with his reading, but comprehended everything. Mm-hmm. So I used to give him verbal quizzes after school.
Wow.
And being able to do that in class while everybody else took the regular written quiz
right.
would have saved some after school time for both him and me.
Yeah.
So that those are the kinds of examples that come to mind.
That's great. And how many students might have been struggling in the same way but not felt comfortable enough to ask to do that after school?
Mm-hmm.
So now that's bringing out.
Or not able to come after school.
Right.
You know, kids have things. They have stuff going on, good and bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can't come after school. Maybe they can't come before school. But during class time, they're yours.
Yeah.
So I can work with those kids. And now I can get the kid who I know doesn't want to tell me he or she is struggling.
Right.
They're struggling.
Exactly.
But I can now say, hey, come talk to me. And I can discreetly work with the student.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody needs to know that they're struggling.
Yeah.
So.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Well, I think you're doing some wonderful, wonderful things. I myself am excited to get more versed and, you know, have more experience with blended mm-hmm. learning in my classroom. And I know where to go if I need the help.
Yes, please. Please come anytime. And it's a matter of starting small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what experience I have, and I'm not perfect. I have experience, but I'm not an expert. I'm still learning. I'm still figuring things out. I have my summer crusades where I'm like, I'm going to do this next year. You're not expected to go from non-blended to fully blended in a
right.
day, in a weekend, in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Try one thing
yeah,
and see how that works.
That's a great piece of advice for all of our listeners out there, myself included.
Absolutely.
Thank you again so much, Lisa, for talking to us today about blended learning. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you again for listening to the Student-Centered Learning Podcast. Let us know what you think about this episode or what you tried in your school by commenting on our Facebook page. You can also subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and please leave a rating so others can find us. You can also follow us on Twitter at @StuCNTRPodcast. And remember, students learn deeply when they are at the center.